The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Taqwa is not Quranic taqwa. Me abandoning my social and political responsibilities in the name of purity and holiness and staying away from sin. It's not the case that the believer who has taqwa, this is just a relationship between me and God, and I'm allowed to abandon my social and political responsibilities because of fear of, if I get involved in the dunya, I might commit sins, I might make mistakes. The dunya is najis, let me just stay away from it, let me run off. Right? Actually, this kind of taqwa, and I want to share the verse of this, is going to be one where you get your hands dirty. You get involved. You stop what's going on. You save those who are drowning in sin. Right? But first, the Quranic principle. Surah 57 and verse number 27. All right. So now, again, let's remember the concept. The idea that were there a group of people who believed in this way, that in order for me to get taqwa, Quranic taqwa, be close to God, what I need to do is stay away from the dunya. I don't do amr al-ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar. I don't do my social and political responsibilities. I withdraw, and this way I save myself. Yes, there were. What does the Quran say about those monks? Those people would run off in the hills. This now, let's see if you can find it. So it's part of the verse, وَرَحْبَانِيَّ, right? So Manassas, being a monk, right? What does God say about this withdrawing, running away? I don't do my social and political responsibilities. I save myself. What does God say about it? Let's look at the verse. إِبْتَدَعُوهَا. How many of us have heard of the word bid'at? Bid'ah. Innovation, right? Bid'ah is something you invent, something that wasn't part of the deen, right? It's not part of Allah's religion. I make a bid'ah and I put it in the deen. So what does God say about being a monk, running away, escaping? He says, وَرَحْبَانِيَّ إِبْتَدَعُوهَا. That was a bid'ah that they placed there. They invented it. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We did not write that for them. We didn't ordain that. That wasn't part of Islam, right? In Islam, no. You have to do your social and political responsibilities. Being a Muslim, being a mu'min, means I'm committed. I've got to go and I've got to rescue others. I can't say, well, it's dangerous. No. Taqwa is body armor. Okay? So example. I want to give two examples. One time, there's an active shooter situation. Right? An active shooter situation. If there's an active shooter situation, most people would run for their lives. Right? I don't want to get hurt. Right? This is now for us to understand the taqwa. What about the person who had military training, who donned the body armor, who goes in to rescue the kids to stop the oppressor? Right? Another situation. An area where there's a plague, there's this infectious disease, everybody's catching it, people are dropping like flies. Some people would, let's escape, let's run away, let's go live in the hills. There's another group of people who don the hazmat suit, who learn whatever protective measures they need to, and go in to rescue people. So the person who has taqwa, based on the ayat of the Quran, is the person who arms themselves with taqwa. We'll have to discuss what that is. And then with this armor of taqwa, goes into society, interacts, saves people, stops oppression, isn't abandoning the dunya, abandoning their social responsibilities. They don't think that this is just a personal relationship with me and God, and the dunya is not just anyway. I want to give you one more story. This is from one of our shuhada, Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi. Ibrahim Hadi. May Allah raise him with Ahlul Bayt. So this story is about the beginning of the revolution. Beginning of the revolution. So Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi was working as part of internal affairs in the sports department. And a report came in. They're trying to change the society. A report comes in that one of the people who's in charge of these big gyms, right, former champion in his own sport, this man, unfortunately, he himself is not only corrupt, but corrupting. So his wife, not observing things, he himself, the jokes that he's making with women, the foul language that he's using, and the report came in, they said, you know, we've got to change this guy. This guy can't be the head of the gym. The guy who's telling the story says that I was writing a report to have this man removed. And Ibrahim came in. When Ibrahim came in, he said, what's happening? He said, well, there's this such and such guy. He's over there at the gym. And he's not doing his responsibility. He's faucet. We have to remove him. Ibrahim said, have you spoken to the person? He said, no, I didn't. But his employees say, everybody knows. This is very clear. Everybody knows who he is. Ibrahim said, we got to talk to the guy. The taqwa, a person of taqwa doesn't just, I just distance myself. They're all najis. Get rid of them. No, let me talk to the guy. He said, let's go and see him. He said, we ended up going on a motorcycle. We drive over to the guy's residence. So these two young Basijis, we're going to drive over to this guy's residence. We pull up at the guy's residence, and Ibrahim jumps off the motorcycle, knock on the door. They said the guy's wife walked in, and almost like no hijab, it was like, you know, these guys are gone. So when Ibrahim comes, he introduces himself. Who are you, young man standing at the door? I'm Ibrahim Hadi. And the guy recognizes. He says, oh, you're from internal affairs? He said, yeah. He said, I'd like to talk to you for a minute, Ibrahim. I'd like to talk to you for a minute. The guy said, come inside. He said, no, look, it'll take a few minutes. I just want to talk to you about it. The other guy's listening, telling the story. So Ibrahim sat the guy down, spoke to the guy. What are we doing? Is it correct that we do this? What's the effect that's happening on the youth? When your wife is walking like this, the jokes that you're making, that language, you're in charge. You're a champion in your own department. He interacted with him. He spoke with him. He changed this man. Then by the time he was finished, he said that this was the letter I was supposed to give for your dismissal. And Ibrahim tore it up. He said, I want you to think about these words that I shared. And he left. The guy says, a few months later, a report came back in. This guy is a changed man now. One conversation. One of the mu'min, instead of running away, they're all najis, they're bad. One of the situations where the mu'min goes over and talks and engages and shares and explains. And what happened? The report came in later, how the man had changed. So that was one part about this Quranic taqwa. Now, another Quranic story that I want to give you, brothers and sisters, is about those people who, because we have to define what taqwa is. And who is it who is not affected by Quran, can't be guided by Quran, to again know what that Quranic taqwa is. So Quranic taqwa, first let's define it. Quranic taqwa, this is going to be the big difference between Quranic taqwa and that false taqwa. Quranic taqwa will be that I am a vigilant person. I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of the dangers. I'm aware of the challenges. I'm laser focused. And now with my Quranic taqwa, I proceed and I act and I do not that because I'm aware of the dangers, I stay in my house and I don't face challenges. So one person is doing haraka, is moving, is advancing, is changing. Another person says, there's danger out there, there's sins, there's ma'asi, there's ghibah. I'll stay in the house, not do anything, and inshallah, that's taqwa. Okay, two examples. One person is walking in a desert. And in this desert, because I have moccasins on, leather shoes. leather shoes. And I'm walking in this desert. And in this desert, there are areas where there are thorns. Right? They'll go right through my moccasins. So when I'm walking, the person who has taqwa, I'm laser focused. I'm aware that there's danger. And I'm walking and I'm going through the desert, but I'm a little bit careful. Right? I don't just kind of heedlessly close my eyes and no. I'm careful, but I'm moving. I'm doing. I'm changing. I'm fixing. And I'm just careful. I'm vigilant. I'm aware of my surroundings.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matim. وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.